Radio Newark, the home of Radio Newark Sport. Weeknights from 7.
It takes a true professional to get over these technical hiccups we do. Best behaviour tonight, or somebody's going to get the dreaded red card. A couple of weeks ago, we spoke to Newark rugby legend John Wells, and tonight we're back on the phone to catch up with another of the game's leading lights. And it all started at Kelham Road, playing for the thirds and the fourths, before the Blues number 8 decided a change of direction was in order. She took up the whistle, and the journey that started in Newark has now taken her to the Women's World Cup. We welcome Claire Hodnett to Sport Towers in about 20 minutes' time. It's Thursday, so we're going to take a look at what's happening this weekend in the wonderful world of grassroots sport, because that's what we like best. If the weather behaves, it's the second attempt at the primary school's netball tournament. And it's the fourth round of the National RFU Cup for Newark. It's a Skeggy 10K and amateur boxing's back at the showground. Yep, this is a weekend that has something for everybody. I'm Mick Bradley, he's Tony Smith. And this, with the weather forecast, is the unique Radio Newark Sport. And we'll start with a bit that I can just chat away in and Tony can look on from a distance, because he won't understand what we're talking about. It's called the Football World Cup Finals. Yes, I put your mic up for that one as well, because I can hear you sniggering.
Oh, thanks.
Okay, we now know who the 32 teams are that's actually qualified for the World Cup finals. England are in pot 2. Scotland are in pot... Oh, no, they're in pot 5. No, sorry, got that wrong.
Scotland have gone to pot.
So, that was better than mine, I'm making note of that. Pot 2, and in Pot 2 are Spain, Peru, Switzerland, England, Colombia, Mexico, Uruguay and Croatia. Which means we can't get drawn against Spain. That's the first plus. We will be drawn against one of Russia, Germany, Brazil, Portugal, Argentina, Belgium, Poland or France. So I think we want Poland. Poland has seeded the 6th best team in the world.
I'm not sure if this seeding thing actually accounts for a great deal.
Germany's first, Brazil second, Portugal 3, Argentina 4. I mean, they only just qualified Argentina by the... Belgium 5, yeah, France 7. Anyway, we can get them. Sweden's in pot 3. Well, obviously, they're not going to be easy, so... So, I think the worst one we could have is probably Germany or Brazil, England, Sweden, and then you've got a choice of Serbia, Nigeria, Australia, Japan, Morocco, Panama, South Korea or Saudi Arabia.
Are Panama still in the hat?
Oh, dear. If you just want to go away, fans, I'll see you later, bye. When Claire's on. So, that apparently is all being drawn out on December the 1st. It'll probably take about 4 hours to do it, and they'll probably have to do it 3 or 4 times until they get the ones they wanted.
But the trouble with this seeding idea is it's done on history. It's not done on current form.
Correct.
Which is very misleading.
No, it's just pure rubbish.
Yeah.
Why you all can't in go...
I was being polite.
...go into a hat and be drawn against what you come out of, I really don't know. Two-thirds of young football fans say the cost of travel was an obstacle to attending more football matches. There's been a survey out today for 18 to 24-year-olds of how they engage in football. 3/4 of young fans said they get their football news from social media, with only 24% from print newspapers. Which is pretty much how people find out about Newark Sport. Well, I think that's the case in any case. But, I mean, this also bears out the fact that social media is telling you as it's happening. If you want to know FlowServe score, Craig Roke is telling you seconds after the ball's in the net.
Mm.
Whereas in your day, we all found out on Thursday.
I don't think newspapers...
We didn't trust it, but we all did find out on Thursday.
Not wasn't necessarily correct, but I don't think newspapers will exist in 10 years' time.
No, I think, you know, and reading this, so how do 18 to 24 years olds engage in the sport of football? 61% of them do it by playing on the console and PC games. That's their contact with football.
Hmm.
44%, their contact is through betting. 18 to 24 year olds, that's how they contact football, through betting. 37% play in a football team. So that's just over a third of all youngsters play football now. Is that high? Is that low?
Well, it's quite high because it adds up to 142%. So
yeah, but this is people can do more than one thing.
Oh,
can't
all right, sorry.
33% fantasy football and 11% have taken up coaching at a young age. And that's commendable.
Yeah, that's a
but
good start.
A third of all youngsters play football. I don't really think that's bad.
No.
When there's a lot of sports out there. So what they're saying is a third of all 18 to 24 year olds actually play football.
That is an impressive stat as well.
So that is not a bad stat. And I think football's... Yeah, okay, that one. One in four of the top four leagues in England, 92% of the clubs offer special prices for young adults. This is the one that really got me. The biggest discounts come in the Premier League, and the team that discounts them the most are Arsenal.
Mm.
Arsenal's normal adult cheapest season ticket is £891.
Do you know which club has the cheapest season ticket in all four divisions in England?
I think it's Manchester United.
Huddersfield Town.
Well, do you watch them?
Yeah.
Crikey. Well, you come from that one, don't you?
Local lad.
Cloth caps and whippets and things like that.
And the football.
Anyway, Arsenal knocked their price down to £384. Which I think is commendable of Arsenal, because Arsenal take a lot of stick for the high prices.
Hmm.
In Scotland, 27 of the 42 clubs, professional clubs, offer young adults a discount. I didn't think you got any discount off anything in Scotland. I just didn't think that happened.
I'm from Yorkshire. Scots run a plane at it.
Well, that's true. You know, try getting money out of Tony Smith. One of life's joys.
I've saved on a card today, anyway.
You saved on a car?
Yeah, I saved on a card.
A card?
Yeah. Well,
you haven't bought me one.
I was just going to say...
No.
I was going to say, on air...
Tight.
Happy birthday, Mick Bradley.
See, this is the only other thing about social media. I don't get birthday cards.
I know, yeah.
Including my daughter, if she's listening.
But I'd just like to say, from your partner in crime, happy birthday. And I wish we had a webcam in here so you could see the lovely telegram that the Queen sent.
There is a sting in the tail of this somewhere. Right, imagine turning up for your Saturday game, and like FlowServe, and finding not one but two ex-Premier League players in the opposition lineup. That's the scenario facing the opponents of Egerton FC. They play in the 12th tier of the English game, which I think is somewhere round about FlowServe or just above. That step six, step seven. You remember J. Lloyd Samuel?
Yeah.
Spent a decade with Aston Villa and Bolton, playing against Atletico Madrid, Bayern Munich and all that lot. He even got an England call-up once. He's the 36-year-old player-manager, believe it or not, of the Cheshire League leaders. Hardly surprised at the league leaders. Samuel is using his football contacts to attract other big names to the Knutsford side, with former Wigan striker Nathan Ellington making his debut last month, and the next one to sign, by all accounts, is Emil Eske.
Really?
He's actually already training with the club, and the ex-Sheffield United and Manchester United forward Danny Webber, as well as ex-Wigan defender Emerson Boyce, are apparently on the radar and should be signing in the near future.
Emil Heskey, he once fell down a lot for England.
He did. And the former Wales midfielder, Robbie Savage, also coaches the club's under-12s. I'm leaving that one to you. I'm not even...
I think there's only one response.
I'm not going down that
dear
line.
Dear God.
Because I can't think of anything to say on that one. Okay, a few changes tonight because Claire's joined us on the phone because she lives in the West Midlands now. So she's joined us. It's going to be one of our phone specials where I'm sitting here with fingers crossed desperately that she answers the telephone. I'm going to be talking to you for half an hour.
That's okay. You could learn a lot.
I could. I doubt it, but I could. So we're going to split the weekend sport sort of in half. So we're going to have a chat about that coming up. First of all, it wouldn't be Radio Newark Sport, would it? Of course, without the local headlines. And Newark Rugby Club are asking for your help. They have applied for a grant from Aviva to help with the clubhouse rebuild. All you need to do is go onto their website, follow the instructions, and place your vote. $47,000 up for grabs. Come on, I'm sure you can do it. It's all rugby tonight, by the way. Two big injury blows for the under-18 girls. Sports show favourite Jess Brown is out until the new year with a broken thumb. And star winger Abby Hammond is going to miss the rest of the season with ACL damage, cruciate ligament damage. We wish them both a speedy recovery, especially Abby, and that's going to take a lot of getting over with. But I've said before, you should see the opposition. If that's the Newark girls, there's no wonder Ashfield is still running.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
There's two more, but I didn't want to start them and get interrupted by that. Two big injury. I've done that one. Matt Law. Remember Matt Law? Last year broke into the England team while he was at Newark. Well, now he's gone on to university. He's at university at Sheffield, and he's actually joined the Sheffield Rugby Club, who play in the National League. And he made his full debut last Saturday. Newark told me Matt tackled well and helped set up a try. But it's great to see, isn't it, the Newark lads now playing in the National League. Yeah, okay, yeah. So lost to Newark, he's gone on to university, still playing rugby, and he's in the National League.
I mean, you could
argue, that was fantastic.
You could argue that Dusty Hare was a loss to Newark, but I mean...
No, well, he did, yeah.
It's
as long as they don't forget Newark.
Exactly.
That's the main thing, don't forget Newark. You wasn't here last week because you was on about your 14th holiday of the year. Stuart Ashley came in from Not Fast and was telling us he was going to do the Six Dales Challenge in the Peak District. So starting and finishing in Biggin, the route takes in Biggin Dale, Wolfcroft Dale, Harlington, Beresford Dale, Money Ash, been there, Lathkill Dale, walk that one, Bradford Dale, Middleton and Longdale. And Stuart completed it in 8 hours and 46 minutes. So well done, Stuart, because that starts me as one heck of a walk. It tired me out doing Lathkill Dale. Never mind about the rest of them, but well done, Stuart. That's very, very commendable. This weekend, it starts with the primary school sports, if the weather's behaving. Last time, it didn't behave, and the netball just didn't happen. It was a washout, so we called it off the day before. Quite right. So, attempt two, primary school's netball, down here at Bond Road Academy, all Saturday morning. I shall be here. Come down and have a look. The girls really do try their best. And I'm not telling you which headmaster a couple of years ago in the final with about a minute to go said, get the ball into the garden and waste some time. You work out which headmaster that was.
But we know him as Chammer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hockey. The Newark men travel to Melton Mowbray. Had a lot of bad luck. They just can't get that little bit of luck that gets them the first points of the season. They just, you know, just got to tip it over and get there. So let's see if they can do that. The ladies are at home to Ashbourne, and of course, last week saw a cracking weekend for the ladies. In full flow now, and I confidently expect them to go on and win the league without any problems whatsoever. Newark Flowserve travel to Attenborough. Well, at least most of Newark Flowserve travel to Attenborough. Some of the backroom staff are not going.
I'll still be in Lincolnshire. I'll be at Gainsborough Trinity.
Attenborough is not in Lincolnshire, Tony.
No, I'll still be in Lincolnshire, in terms of the radio station.
Right, okay. So you're letting flow, sir.
Our down. Listenership. I'm just letting both of them know.
Okay, so you're letting flow, sir. Down. So Attenborough, bottom three in the table. It should be a gimme. But I've been to Attenborough lots of times, and you don't get many easy games at the Avenue. It's a long way to go, but it's a lovely afternoon out, right next to the Nature Reserve. But they haven't played for 2 weeks either, so, you know, a bit rusty. They've got to hit that running, else they're gonna struggle. Newark Town are away to Dinnington. A game in other seasons, that would be a Newark win. This season, it's hard work. But let's just hope we turn the corner. And Collingham are at home to Thorne Colliery. Collingham third in the table. Doing ever so well. So let's just hope that they can keep going and Newark get a win. Newark Swimming Club, the Boston Open, which for some reason is at Grantham. Well, I suppose the reason is he ain't got a swimming pool in Boston. They can't go up and down the Wiffham, can they? There's no floodlights. Luke Sayer and Lauren Owens are in Sheffield for the Sheffield Indoor Athletics Championships, of which Amber's going to tell us all about next week. A quick run through the other football. Grantham are away to Buxton. That's Grantham 3rd, Buxton 10th, so, you know, come on, Grantham. The National League North, which is where you're going, both Gainsborough and Boston United are struggling. Gainsborough at home to FC United, another struggling club. So that's a six-pointer, if you like, isn't it? And Harrogate play Boston United. Harrogate 2nd, Boston United 20th. So, hard day for Boston with their new manager. You're going for a six-pointer, which you're going to tell me about at about 10 to 8, because at the minute, I'm going to try and find our wonderful lady rugby referee. Okay, it's live to the telephones. It's a young lady I spoke to in the days of Boundary Sound when she was just starting out on a refereeing career, which has taken her all the way to the top. Welcome back to Radio Newark from the deepest West Midlands, I assume, Claire Hodnett. Claire, hello.
Good evening, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Are you?
Very well, thank you.
I've got another old friend of yours in the studio from the New York Advertiser, Tony Smith, sitting here, and I dare say he will want to join in.
Hiya, Claire, how are you doing?
Hello, Tony. I'm good, hello.
Good to hear from you.
I know you're a very busy lady, and you've actually sort of pulled off the road to one side to talk to us because you're not even home yet. So let's get straight let's get straight down to business, Claire. And when I was doing my own work, I'm going to take some of the bits out of it, but you basically started playing in the thirds and the fourths for Newark.
I played for Newark Ladies. I started refereeing the third and fourth team at the men's third and fourth team at Newark. So that's where the reference to the third and fourth team comes from.
Okay, and now let's go back just your rugby career first then, actually playing rugby.
It was short and sweet, and let's put it like this: I wasn't effective because I was a rather large when I was playing, but I did play for about 4 years, both at Newark and for university.
Where did the change of heart come from then? What was the catalyst to change over?
Being told to stop playing by my knee surgeon because I'd had two knee operations and he wasn't going to fix my knee again. So he told me to stop playing, which I did. And then I saw, as it happened, another female referee at Newark refereeing the first team. She was a lady from Australia. And I saw her refereeing and I thought, right, that's it, I'm going to have a go at that. Coupled with my dad, because my dad played rugby all his life and he was actually doing a bit of refereeing at the time, so I thought I'd give it a go.
The other days when I last spoke to you, when Tony would pop round and every sort of next step up the ladder, he would report it. Let's jump from the early days to your career. How we've gone in the last 3 or 4 years since we last spoke to you. I know there's been a World Cup, but go before then. How did we go from refereeing third and fourth
to first and then that ladder.
Okay, all right. So I did a little bit of refereeing down at Newark, and then I applied to become a member of the NLD Referee Society. So every local area has a referee society. So I applied to join their society, which I did, and then I was appointed to very low-level games within Nottinghamshire, Lincolnshire and Derbyshire on a Saturday. Part of that process is that you are assessed by experienced referees who mark you according to how competent you are refereeing that particular game of rugby, and they'll make suggestions about how you might improve. If you do well at the lower level, you get promoted to the next level, and that process carries on until you reach a certain level. Now, there's a after the society games, there's a promotion called being promoted to the Midland Group. So all of the referee societies within the Midlands, so NLD and I don't know, Shropshire and Staffordshire, and they will all put their better referees into the Midland Group. And then as part of Midland Group, you referee higher level games, more over the Midlands as opposed to just in your own local society. And then if you are deemed good enough, you are nominated for what is called the National Panel of Referees. Now, the National Panel of Referees is made up of about 27 to 30 referees and assistant referees who are touch judges, and there's about 50 of those. And if you are good enough, you are nominated. And when you are nominated, you then have to be assessed by the National Panel assessors. And then if you are deemed to have handled those games well, you're invited to an interview by the national panel managers, and if successful, you are appointed to the national panel. Now, that happened to me in 2013, and I successfully refereed my games, and I was invited to the interview. Sadly, that year I wasn't successful in being appointed to the national panel of referees. I was then invited back with a little bit more experience under my belt in 2014. And that year, I was appointed to the National Panel of Referees, and I was the first woman in history to be appointed to the National Panel. So that was the journey up to getting appointed to the National Panel of Referees in this country.
And that's one thing that nobody can ever take away from you, the first woman in history.
No, I know. It was a proud moment, and particularly for my dad, because he's been a big supporter of mine along the way, along with my mum and my brothers. So it was really good, and there was a lot of press around that. So there were articles in the newspaper, and Sky Sports did a programme, I did BBC Sport News or local area. And because rugby for a long time has been such a male-dominated sport, they wanted to make a public thing of it. And so I was appointed to the national panel in 2014, and I've been on the national panel for the last few years. But last weekend, I refereed my last ever game of rugby. I've now officially retired from refereeing.
Tony and I have both just fallen off our seats.
No, well, there's a time when one has to consider what's right, and I feel that I've refereed to the best of my ability, and I can't go on any further. And now, in terms of refereeing in this country, there are other young males and young females who are coming through, and I feel like I've got other avenues to pursue within rugby. So I'll come on to that in a second. This summer, I officially retired from refereeing international women's games, because I refereed at the Women's World Cup in Ireland over the summer, and I officially retired from international rugby then. And the main reason for that was because at the World Cup, I was one of a group of match officials, and there are a number of referees within the referee group who are young enough to be my children.
This is a Radio Newark bombshell. It's not breaking news, it's a bombshell.
There is breaking news. Let me tell you what I'm doing now. Next Friday, the 24th of November, I will be the television match official for Newcastle Falcons against Gloucester in the men's Aviva Premiership up in the north.
I shall get my grandson to come and say hello to you. He lives up there and he's a Falcons season ticket holder. He's only 12.
There you go.
But I'll have time to look out for you.
Yeah, so but there has been a plan for me to stay involved in the game, but I feel that functioning and performing in a physical sense on the field every Saturday, I can't keep up with the change in the pace of the game. I've been able to do that until now, but I feel like now is a good opportunity for me to decide to leave the refereeing and for me to pursue the television match official route, which is what I'm doing. So I've been doing a number of training games. I've got one more training game to do on Sunday, and that's at Leicester Tigers. And then I shall be flying solo as of Friday the 24th of November.
Oh, the lovely people up in Geordie Land, Clare. You'll have no problems up there whatsoever.
Well, I hope not.
No, you won't. If a young lad by the name of Finley starts giving in the hassle, just sort him out for me.
Not a problem. If I can manage 30 grown men on a rugby pitch, I think I can sort that out.
He's the one with the natty hairstyle. But right, but one thing I've got to ask you, and I do appreciate where you are, if you want to drive off, just tell me.
I'm good for now.
Okay. Sean Massey and Amy Finn in the football world was sort of trailblazers in the professional game there, and I saw and heard some of the abuse that they had to put up with, both from in the crowd and on the field. I go and watch Newark at rugby. Oh, by the way, it would be a mission to say that talking of friends and everything, they've been tweeting all day that you're on the radio tonight, and everybody at Kenmore thinks so highly of you, and I can't go down on Saturday without being mentioned. Have you spoke to her yet? Have you caught up with her yet? She started here and all that, and they really think so highly of you. They do wish to be remembered to you. A Newark still called the official sir. The supporters still call the official sir, and I think that's wonderful. And yes, they question the official, but when the official tells them, they accept. They walk away and are absolutely brilliant. And you know, it's the same at the crowd at Newark. Have you had any problems being, as you've already said, a lady in a man's game?
I've had no more difficulties with players or spectators that my male colleagues haven't experienced. And I have to say, there is only one very isolated incident that happened a number of years ago where I was the subject of some abuse, but it was dealt with, and it was dealt with officially and promptly, and that the person who did direct the abuse in my direction experienced a 3-month touchline and playing ban. But that is very much the exception to the rule, and at every level of the game, so for that one incident a few years ago, I've been treated with the utmost of respect by players and spectators alike, and it's true what you say, and the players even call me sir.
So you're sir as well, are you?
Yes, as far as I'm concerned, I'm a referee. It matters not what my gender is when we run out onto the pitch, because at the end of the day, I'm a referee. And I do get, up until obviously my retirement, being called sir. The only people who call me anything different are the RAF, the Army and the police officers, who have always called me ma'am, but that is natural for them because they respond to their superiors within their own professional lives as ma'am, don't they? So
yes,
that has always been the way. I've been treated with the absolute utmost of respect by everybody. And if there have been, not comments, but a look of surprise, oh my gosh, there's a woman who's come to referee, because I can't tell you when I first started how many times I got mistook for the physio. And I'd say, no, I'm the referee. So there would always be a small look of, oh gosh, it's a woman. But I would always say to them, judge me after I've refereed, and if you've got something to say to me, please feel free to tell me, because I'll accept constructive feedback. And everybody has always really responded to that really, really well.
That's fantastic. You've got a high profile job. You know, the job that pays the money, if you like, is a solicitor. And I was reading when I was doing the homework last night of one story going back a couple of years, in Nottingham, where you turned up at Crown Court Sport in the biggest and best black eye you're ever likely to see.
Yes, that was the only time in my wrestling career I'd been assaulted on the rugby pitch, and it was entirely my own fault. I ran past the breakdown, and as I ran past the breakdown, a player was falling with their arm flailing and caught me on the side of the eye. And so I had to go to court with a black eye, but what I did was covered my eye with my hair so that nobody could see that I had this black eye, and I tried to cover it with foundation. Appearing in a courtroom is a challenge, and I had to make arrangements to try and cover that up when I was there.
I just wondered what his lordship sort of said to you.
Well, as it happened, the judge that I appeared before did know me and knew that I was a rugby referee, so I passed a message that I wasn't being disrespectful by covering my face with my hair, and explained the reason why, and the judge was very accommodating of my explanation, because there are obviously rules and etiquette for appearing in a courtroom, one of which is not to hide your face. So there are all sorts of expectations and professional conduct, and so that was fine and dealt with by way of a message discreetly.
Claire, can we go back to the World Cup, because I'm assuming the World Cup was the pinnacle of the refereeing career?
Yes, it was, and it was an absolutely amazing occasion, because I got to referee some really good games at this World Cup, because going to this World Cup, I was one of the most, if not the most experienced referee on the referee team, and I know a lot of the players, and I know a lot of their managers and coaches, and so it was nice to be in an environment where I was known and I was generally very well respected. So I did referee a number of games, but the highlight was refereeing my last game in the Kings Fan Stadium in Ulster, which is where the finals were held, and I refereed Wales against Ireland. Now, that was a critical game for both teams, because the teams were playing for the final automatic qualification place for the next Women's Rugby World Cup in 4 years' time. So whoever won out of that game got automatic qualification for the next World Cup. The loser has to go through the qualification process, which obviously is tough and has its own challenges. And I have to say, Wales won on the day, even though Ireland were the hosts. Ireland lost, and Wales got their automatic qualification for the next World Cup, which they haven't done for a little while, I don't think. So it was a great game. There were about 10,000 people in the stadium watching, and about 2 million watched live on RTE, the island sport channel.
Did you get to the Premiership refereeing then, or?
I've never refereed the men's Premiership, but I have refereed the Premiership A-League. So I've refereed Harlequins Day against Saracens Day, and I've refereed Adam Jones, who played for Wales in the front row. I've also refereed Jamie Roberts, who played for Wales in the centre. I've refereed Bathe against Bristol. I've refereed Bathe against London Irish. So I've refereed some of the A-League games. And the A-League games are for developing players at the Premiership club, or for Premiership players who are coming back from injury to go back into the full Premiership side.
Claire, at the start of the year, I spent 12 weeks at Trent Bridge qualifying for the Level 1 umpiring course.
Oh, fantastic.
And it was...
Not for the cricketers.
I've had a most wonderful summer of my life.
I'll tell you a story when you've got more time, Claire.
But next year, they're bringing in yellow and red cards for umpires.
Marvellous.
What do you think of that?
I think that's a wonderful idea, and I do think that rugby has got the balance right at the moment with the consequences of indiscipline on the field, and I do feel that other sports, including cricket, but also football, for example, would benefit, because players who are indisciplined on the field in rugby face the possibility that they could be sanctioned by way of a yellow card, which of course in rugby is a 10-minute sin bin.
Yeah.
So that means that not only are they letting themselves down because they've been lacking in discipline, they let their team down because their team go down to 14 players, or teams have two or more players in the sin bin, obviously their numbers reduced by that amount. Obviously, red cards are for the most serious incidents and mainly foul play, but I do feel that indiscipline should be dealt with in that way, and it does work very well in rugby. And at the higher levels, there are consequences financially and points-wise for teams who have a number of yellow and red cards. So I do think it's a positive thing, and it means that players are focused and they do try their best to keep their discipline.
But the game of cricket has always been a game played within the spirit of cricket, and a game basically that an umpire should be able to control with his words. And I would feel personally very aggrieved if I ever had to resort to a yellow or a red card, because I would feel that I wasn't doing my job properly because the game has been taken out of my control by the flourishing of the card.
I don't ever think you should feel like that, because we as referees and umpires are there to facilitate a game of rugby. All games have rules or laws that have to be adhered to. If players don't adhere to them, it's their responsibility. What they need to understand is that we have options available to us if they don't respond to the laws and the rules. And if they breach those rules or the laws, there should be consequences for them. And I think that instills an attitude of respect and discipline.
So it should be a case of you've got the cards there as a deterrent, and the players are well aware of that, but you still sort of try in the first place to sort of use a verbal contact.
Absolutely. So in terms of my refereeing, I've always been a great ambassador of a communicator, and so I try to communicate with players to manage them, and if I'm not able to manage them or they don't respond to my guidance, then they know what consequences there are and what options are available to me if they don't respond.
Oh, thanks very much for that. Yeah, that's a good insight.
When he first told me, I thought it was players giving him a yellow and red card, isn't
it? I don't think they go for yellow first.
There are many rugby players in this country and abroad internationally who would like to have given me red and yellow cards in the past. At the end of the day, I'm the referee, so I'm the one that's got the power with the whistle.
Claire, I'm almost certainly need another little favour off you. I'll talk to you off air inside the next two or three days. It will facilitate another phone call, but we'll talk about that, and I'll explain. It's a bit of a secret at the moment, so I can't say a lot, but all will be revealed. You've dropped the bombshell. The Radio Newark's had the local exclusive. Even the rugby club haven't got hold of that one. You've refereed. You're going to referee your last match. And then you're going up to the Falcons for the first match as the person that's really in charge.
Yes, the television match official. And if I said I was nervous, that would be an understatement.
You would.
But hopefully with my rugby knowledge, I should be okay.
Just look at it this way. Instead of running around, you've got 80 minutes of sitting down, love.
I know. With your headphones on, feet upon the desk with a cup of tea.
Exactly.
What could possibly go wrong?
Claire, Lord, now you've set me up on
the Claire, you parked up, and I don't like the idea that much longer. Claire, thank you so much for taking time out, George. I know you're so busy, but we've all been desperate to sort of speak to you and find out how you're getting on, and then good old Stacey announces that she's going on holiday with you. Stacey, you are a saviour.
Well done, Stacey.
Well done, Stace. And Stace, of course, is another regular, and I think she's in here next week. Actually, another regular and favourite on this radio station.
We've done well. She and my group of friends have a lot of successes in our lives, and the number of sporting individuals within our group. And we all went to school together.
And you went to school together, and it sounds like you had a cracking reunion type holiday as well, and that's what it's all about. Claire, safe journey home, and we'll talk to
you
very, very soon, actually, but I'll reveal all later.
Lovely, look forward to it. Thank you.
Thanks, Claire.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. She's absolutely wonderful.
She really is.
Absolutely wonderful, and it must be so, so difficult to trailblaze. I'm not being sexist, I am not, but a lady in rugby to trailblaze. And I've seen what the Newark girls have to go through to get recognised.
But I mean, you know, we had John Wells on the show in a similar capacity, and he just hasn't changed since I first met him all those years ago at Callan Road. And Claire hasn't. She's just the same bubbly girl that she always was, and that's great to see, because the higher the some sports people go within their chosen sport,
they don't want to know you.
They don't want to know you.
No.
It's they'll talk to the local paper when they're at the start of their careers, and they'll go, "Oh, I'm in the paper." And then once they've been on, like Claire alluded to there, Sky Sports. You know, I mean, she may be different now she's been on Radio Newark, you know. That's when she's reached the very pinnacle.
Oh, this is the top. This is the unique Radio Newark Sport. There's not another show on radio like this one.
Thank God.
And it's rugby most of the way, because even in the national headlines, which I'm going to do dry, actually, England Rugby Union head coach Ed Jones says he's trying to protect the workload of some of his key players by resting them this autumn. Owen Farrell and Mara Adeoje return for the match day squad against Australia after missing the Argentina game, but he's only going to start with Farrell. He's going to rest Mara. Now, that's okay if they win.
Mm-hmm.
If they win, nobody's going to remember that the best, two of the best players in the world didn't start. If they lose, he'll probably have to answer to his mum again.
I hope she's not watching against Australia. Good grief. I think that's going to be a tough one.
It's not going to be easy, is it? If you're not going to go in there with your absolute strongest 15. But, in all said and done, this is a friendly. The Six Nations start in the new year.
England did a job.
Not that England-Australia is going to be a friendly.
No. It never has and never will be. But against Argentina, they did a job. They got the result, but it was a poor performance. And if they give a poor performance against the Aussies, oof, it could get messy.
Scotland make two changes for Saturday's Rugby Union Test match with New Zealand. Talking about being messy.
I'm just praying for snow.
Yes, keep praying, sunshine. But and this is winding me up. Tottenham boss Mauricio Pochettino says that Toby Alderweireld is unlikely to play again this year because of an answering in late fair comment. He was a host of Spurs players missing from international duty. But Harry Kane, Dele Alli and Harry Winks, who all pulled out of the England squad, and captain Hugo Lloris, who pulled out of the French squad, should all return for the game against Arsenal. Tony, it stinks.
Mm. But unfortunately, when you've got players of that quality, they can pick and choose, because
the players rule the roost.
Yeah.
I get annoyed. I'll be ranting on here for the next 20 minutes. I get annoyed.
And these days, European and even Premier League football is of a far higher importance to people than internationals. In our day, to pull on the shirt of your country was the ultimate. Nowadays, it's winning the Champions League is far more important. And I can see why Pochettino has done that. It's sad because, you know, the world has changed. But, you know, if there was a priority, in terms of first, it would be the Champions League. Second, it would be the Premier League. And then in third place would be international football. And the reason for that is because if you play the Champions League, they've got the pick of the world to choose from. If you're playing against Scotland, it's the best Scotland can select. And that's what, you know, sort of, or the best England can select, or even the best Brazil or Germany can select. It's all from one country. But you got Champions League and you've got the pick of the world.
There are times, they're few and far between, when you know why it was a sports editor for 25 years. I'm still reeling. One from Tony's speech and two from Claire announcing exclusively that her refereeing career has sort of finished. And three, I've just beginning to get over the panic that the poor lady was sort of parked up in a lay-by somewhere talking to us. And I thank her so, so much for taking the time out to join us. She's been up since probably 6-7 o'clock this morning and she's still not got back home.
But if any lady was to be attacked in a lay-by in the dark, then my money would be 100% on Claire.
Oh, this is... she's, you know, I'm... we're spreading the wings, aren't we, Claire and John Wells? We're beginning to spread the wings. But they've all got Newark connections. And they all remember Newark as well. And that's what I like. They John remembers fondly Newark. Claire remembers, even though you did go and see her, Claire remembers Newark fondly.
But there is another common denominator. There's a great Newcastle Falcons connection coming through, isn't there, as well?
Oh, yes, there is that to it.
That's not been lost on his audience, has it?
Okay, right, yeah. We'll go along with that one. So, we just about finished Saturday sport for the weekend. We just got really round to talking about where you're going. You're going to see Gainsborough FC United of Manchester. And when we talk about the National League North, because that's the one that Grantham's trying to get into.
Yeah.
And it's got Gainsborough and Boston United, who both are in our area as well. Gainsborough, of course, have got this record, haven't they? They've never been promoted, they've never been relegated. And it's been called 101 different names, but it's been the same division. Mm. But for the last two or three years, they've been just hanging on a little bit to it, and it's the same again this time round.
They've been clinging on to the record. It's a great record that you've never been relegated, but it's a bit like England Brazil, isn't it? You're like the 0-0. You've never been promoted either. No. But we've got a great, Newark connection with Gainsborough Trinity, in that Damo Parkinson is there as well.
Yes.
So that there's always that sort of connection, and I always love going to Gainsborough because I always meet up with Damo. And in the corner behind the goal, they've got this little tuck shop, and he always brings me a bag of sweets, bless him. but it's going to be a tough game for Gainsborough on Saturday because FC United have got a new manager, and one of the players has become player manager, as Margentina, as FC United call him, has parted ways with the club after being there from the very inception of FC United, which was formed as a breakaway from Manchester United because of the Glaziers and all the rest of it. And since Greaves has taken over as player-manager, they've won four out of the last five, so they're a team on the up, and Gainsborough are going to be in for a tough one.
Yeah, especially as FC United are around them, and so the leaders by 7 points of that division, of course, Salford City, and nobody ever tells me that money don't get you anywhere, because quite blatantly, yes, it does. They play against bottom club North Ferriby. So Salford look like they're in the National League next season if they carry on.
Yeah.
If they carry on like that. In the North East Counties League, and this is one I really wanted to mention, there's two, Harrogate Railway play Clipston. Clipston played in the week and got beat, so that's played 18, lost 18, and are now a lovely trip to Harrogate. But the match of the day, I think, in the North East Counties League, which is step five, AFC Mansfield against Renneth Miners Welfare.
Oh, dearie me. They might as well leave the ball off for the first 20 minutes in that one.
Forest Town against Renneth. Yeah, okay, folks.
No weekend break for the Nottinghamshire Police, then.
Dear. I don't know what it's going to be like in this day and age, but a few years ago, that would have been tasty.
I'm sure it hasn't changed that much. Oh, if there's not bloodshed in that one, it's a far worse game for it.
I remember, I've said this before on the radio, I remember going to Renner with Simo's, as it was then.
Yeah.
And there was probably about five, six of us young lads, Jack the lads, you know, we was there, we went to support Simo's, Donny Age and all the lads. And at 2:55, that was it. We was there and chanting Simo's and everything, and nobody. At 3:00, there was about three of them turned out the welfare, crossed the road, and that was it. Oh, dear, oh, dear.
Yes. It was, Dave Hillier always tells me a great story about he went to the FA Vars game, 1982, Renneth versus Forest Green. And Dave only saw the first 15 minutes before he was arrested for fighting with Mansfield lads.
That sounds about right. Well, Forest Green sort of spent all week preparing, didn't they? The Renneth lads was in the pub on the Friday night.
The Renneth lads were drinking till 6 in the morning on the day of the match.
So, you know.
Because they were just celebrating having got to Wembley. And the fact they only lost 3-0 is one of football's miracles that's never talked about.
So, back into Newark and on to Sunday, and it's the Skegness 10K, which is the prime reason that Stacey's coming in next week, because she's bringing the bling.
Oh, is she?
And the Skegness 10K bling is a lifeboat, because I've got a brand new lifeboat at Skegness.
Oh, I see.
So you see the connections are forming again, don't you?
Lifeboats, railways and Newcastle Falcons, just because it's his birthday.
Yes. That's pretty much how it is, and you're in for a shock on Saturday as well, because if you think Gainsborough Lee Road Station is anywhere near Gainsborough, you're in for a shock.
I've been there three times. I've got my walking boots.
You know now it's not.
We should be sponsored for that walk.
It's the Woolerton 10K, which is the Mo Run. Of course, it's Movember, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It's the Mo Run, and Tom Mallinson's in that. Tom come in to see us a few weeks ago, Forest... Forest Academy. So Tom's is running that, and we wish Tom the best of luck in that one. Amateur boxing, as we talked last night to Paul Cowlin.
It's not often you hear that in the same sentence, is it? Forest and Academy. Apparently they won the European Cup.
I think I might have mentioned that this week already, but we can do it again. I've never got tired of doing it from 1981, so I'm not going to stop now.
No, Mick, they will never do it again.
Amateur boxing at the Showground Sunday afternoon. The Newark youngsters, 17-year-olds down to 11-year-olds. So that will be good. Still tickets there. Get in touch with Paul Cowell and he'll sort some cat. Second day of the Amateur Athletics indoor meeting at Sheffield with Luke Sayer, another one of our guests, and of course Lauren Owens, Team Owens, and with a bit of luck, in a couple of weeks' time, the whole of Team Owens is coming to see us.
The whole of
Team Owens, and how are we going to find out which is the twins? Then I gave up on that one last time.
Name tags.
Yes, we should do them name tags, shouldn't we?
Name tags.
That's what we'll do. We'll do them name tags. Yeah. We'll do one for Amber as well, so she don't get left out.
And Dad.
and Dad. Rugby girls. It's the NLD matches again, Notts, Lincolnshire.
You don't mention them enough.
No, I didn't think so. the ones that's not injured are playing at the weekend. The problem is most of them seem to be injured at the moment. But they're playing at the weekend, so it's going to be another cracking weekend. The Newark Sport, Tony, both Saturday and Sunday. And again, it's right across the board, isn't it? It's something for everybody. So whatever you're doing, go out there and enjoy it. Just a quick plug for next week. Me and you on Monday, of course, while we catch up with the boys. See how flow serve and the hockey and the rugby all got on. Of course, the one we didn't mention here, them, was the Newark Rugby Club itself going to Coventry. Rob Bardman cannot wait to get back. Tuesday, Amy Hunt's coming to see us. And the sister, the cricketer. The one that bowls accurately. Holly's coming in to see us as well, so we look forward to that. Stacey Atkins and the Striders gang are coming in on Wednesday, and they're bringing the bling. You missed Bring the Bing. Blah, blah, blah. Bring the Bling Part 1.
That's easy for you to say.
It is. You missed that one.
Not to burn my teeth.
That was not fast. They're talking about the best runs, the worst runs, the good days. It's a bit like last night. It's going to be a laugh. So that, and on Thursday night, Glenn Cobb's coming to see us.
Oh, is it?
It's been a momentous year for youth football in Newark. And we caught up with Glenn to see if he has actually decorated the bedroom that it was apparently supposed to do. We will see. Who knows what could happen. But from another week of Radio Newark Sport, that is just about our limit. Tony's off to Gainsborough. I don't know where I'm going to. You'll find me somewhere, but you'll find us both on Monday night for the unique Radio Newark Sport.